Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Old Testament, from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Hear now the word of the Lord. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear, or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? And why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astounded. For I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and their dignity go forth from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards, more fierce than the evening wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle, swift to devour. They all come for violence, their faces forward. They gather captives like sand. At kings they scoff, and at rulers they laugh. They laugh at every fortress, for they pile up earth and take it. Then they sweep by like the wind and go on. Guilty men, whose own might is their God. Let us ask for the Lord's help. Let's pray. Father, we open your word this morning and we know that we are so inadequate. Give us ears to hear, minds to understand. Lord, would you give your servant the words to speak? Without you, we can do nothing. We pray that Jesus Christ might be lifted high, that he might be glorified among us this morning. Lord, that we would see him. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Three and a half pounds of brain try to figure out what this world is all about, and is there an eternity? God, if you're there, I wish you'd show me. And God, if you care, then I need you to know me. I hope you don't mind me asking the questions, but I figure you're big enough. I was about 7 or 8 years old. Young boy, and I had big questions for God. I had a lot of doubts as a 7-year-old. One thing I never doubted was the reality of sin, especially the reality of sin in my own heart. I went to my parents and I talked to them and said, I have doubts. I have questions for God. And they shared that song that I quoted there. That's an old Chris Rice song. They played that song. It's okay to have questions, but we need to talk them out in the context of faith, in our families, and in the church. Well, I talked to my grandpa, Grandpa Charlie, and he explained the gospel to me in that moment. And the fear and the doubt and the questions that I had were the seeds that the Lord used for true faith. It's so important to talk out our questions with God and with God's people, with our families. You're not alone if you have questions. The prophet Habakkuk had big questions for God. Much of the book of Habakkuk centers around his questions for God. Our reading today, he has a big question for a big God. That's the theme we're looking at today. And we're going to do it in 3 points this morning. The first point, who? Who is Habakkuk? And the second point we're going to look at is a tough question. Tough question. We're going to look at the tough question that Habakkuk asks the Lord. And the third point is going to be answer. Answer? That's an answer? It's a question. So let's look at who Habakkuk is together to begin with. There's a lot of mystery surrounding the prophet Habakkuk. We don't know much about this man. We're not even sure what his name means. Older scholars would say the name Habakkuk has to deal with the Hebrew word for embrace, which sounds nice. But most modern scholars say, no, we think his name has to do with an ancient Akkadian word for a plant. There's a bit of discrepancy there. I've heard some people pronounce his name different ways. Habakkuk, Habakkuk. In the Greek, it would be Ambakum. Very mysterious. We don't even know what he did for work. Some have conjectured that the prophet was involved in temple work. Some have said he probably worked with the choir. But it's just a guess. We don't know. We know next to nothing about this man other than what we have here. That he was a prophet with questions for God. In the time between the Old and the New Testament, Habakkuk shows up again in the Apocrypha. We don't trust the Apocrypha. The Apocrypha is uninspired fan fiction, is the way I would explain it. And in the story Bel and the Dragon, Habakkuk shows up. He floats into the lion's den with Daniel and he gives him some soup. The author might have been intrigued by how mysterious Habakkuk is, and his legend grew. Mysterious man. We know that's not true. One thing we do know is the date of this book. We can be fairly certain about when this book was written. We can set the context for what's going on. It's written just about 600 BC. How do we know this? And why is it important? 600 BC. We can argue that it was written in a four-year window between 609 BC and 605 BC. Because we can date the Battle of Carchemish and the ascendancy of the Babylonians or the Chaldeans here in our text to 605. And so Habakkuk was predicting the Babylonian ascendancy at a time when they were nobodies. And he can also remember the righteous reforms, the revival that took place under King Josiah. The Bible had been abandoned, it had been covered in dust, and then Josiah dug up the Bible. And there was revival there in Judah. And then evil kings took his place, Jehoiakim and Jehoahaz. And it's during their reign that we think this was written. And so Habakkuk remembers the good days. And he says, we need to make Judah great again. He's longing for revival. Does that sound familiar to us here in America? We can remember the days when there was prayer in school. And yet there's been a turning away from the Lord in our nation as of late. Many of us have big questions for God. So does Habakkuk. Let's look at his tough question now at verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear, or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? And why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. So justice goes forth perverted. Those are tough questions. We meet here a man who's raw. He's chapped. He looks around and he sees violence. He cries for help and he feels abandoned. Where is God in all of this destruction, this iniquity? Where is God? Can you relate to that? We might think that Habakkuk is talking about a foreign oppressor here, but he's not. He's coming to the Lord and he's talking about Judah. He's saying, Lord, look at your church. They've turned their back on you, God. Where are you? Look at this. There's oppression, there's violence, there's iniquity. The law is paralyzed. We've turned our back. We've thrown the Bible out of the church. Where are you? He's got questions. Some of the hardest questions you can ever ask. That's what Habakkuk is wondering about. How can you be good and all this evil exist? It's one thing to think about evil in the world. It's another thing to see evil in the church. That's what has Habakkuk so concerned. Evil in the church, as we think of that today. Hypocrisy. Perhaps money was ruling the church. The word destruction there could also be translated spoil. Men who were more concerned with a paycheck than the glory of God. They paralyzed the law so that they can get their paycheck. They can hold on to power. And justice goes forth perverted because of this. Where's God? Will he save us from this? And notice how provocative this question is. You see, Habakkuk uses God's great covenant name. It's indicated by the capital L-O-R-D in your English version. He's saying, O Yahweh, O Jehovah, O I Am. I thought you said, you are with me. Where are you? You've given your word. What's going on? Why do you make me see iniquity? And why don't you seem to be all that bugged by it? That's what he's saying. That's provocative. Why do you idly look at wrong? How long, O Lord? Faithful and true. The martyrs cry out in Revelation. How long until your church is vindicated? Until righteousness comes down. And we see the new Jerusalem arrayed in white garments, pure and spotless. How long until we know the glory of the Lord? He's got big questions, and they're the hardest questions. You know, the Lord uses, we're not rational brains in a vat as human beings. The Lord uses right action to inform what we believe. As children, no child is born crying for a science textbook. We don't come out asking for a science textbook. We come out crying for mommy. Don't we? These questions become all harder when the people we should be trusting, the people we should be looking to, aren't role models. It's tragic. Absolutely tragic. Hypocrisy is tragic in the church. Well, moving on to the Lord's answer. How's the Lord going to fix this? The Lord has heard his prayer. Looking at verse 5, the Lord answers the prophet. Look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astounded. For I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans. Chaldeans are the Babylonians. They have two names. That bitter and hasty nation who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards, more fierce than the evening wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle, swift to devour. They all come for violence, all their faces forward, literally in the Hebrew, like an east wind. You can think of the Santa Ana winds in California. You have the Mediterranean off to the west, nice sea breeze. Then you had the desert off to the east. And this desert wind come through, the winds of death, an east wind. They all come for violence. Their faces like the winds of death. They gather captives like sand. At kings they scoff, and at rulers they laugh. They laugh at every fortress, for they pile up earth and take it. And they sweep by like the wind and go on. Guilty men whose own might is their God. Imagine yourself in Habakkuk's shoes. You pray to the Lord, and he answers you audibly. And this is the answer? What kind of answer is this? You ask for mercy, and then the Lord says, I'm going to send the Babylonians, and they're going to drag Judah off. They're going to burn your city to the ground, Habakkuk. What type of answer is this? That's a hard answer. A bitter and hasty nation. They're idolaters. Think of Nebuchadnezzar. They care nothing for the Lord. They only care about their own empire. And this is who God's going to use. To bring justice? A pagan nation? That's hard. It's extremely hard. And yet, isn't that true to life? Isn't that true to life? They seize dwellings not their own. They have an empire. They're building for themselves. They're hasty men whose own might is their own God. Might is right. That's what's being said here. They only care about getting theirs. They're self-made men. They scoff at everyone. They're unstoppable. And the Lord has raised them up to rain down upon the nations around them. They gather captives like sand. And Judah is not immune to this. And yet, look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astonished. For I am doing a work in your days that you wouldn't even believe if I told you, Habakkuk. There's hope in this. You see, we know that through the Babylonian captivity, hope came, redemption came. God's kingdom came in spite of all the oppression, in spite of all the atrocities that Babylon brought. Redemption came, and it spread throughout the whole world. The synagogues were planted during the diaspora, and the synagogues became the seed of the church in the Mediterranean, as the Apostle Paul would go and preach the gospel there. We know that through the grave, redemption came. Habakkuk, you wouldn't even believe it if I told you what I'm up to. You look at the world today. You look at Afghanistan. What's going on? You look at North Korea, China. What's going on? And yet we know he's working a work in our day that you wouldn't even believe it if I told you. And yet he told us time and time again, didn't he? He told the disciples time and time again, I must go to Jerusalem. I must be crucified. And on the third day, rise from the dead. And did they believe him? Did they understand? No. He told them in no uncertain terms exactly his plan. And yet they never listened. The answer to Habakkuk's question is bigger than the question Habakkuk was asking. Habakkuk had immediate concerns. He had the news on. He was watching what's going on in Jerusalem. And he's so concerned about the corruption in his own day that he forgets God has a greater purpose. We can do the same thing today. We can get so wound up with our own circumstances that we forget God has a bigger plan than any of us can understand. And we want to know the plan. And yet God does not give Habakkuk his plan, does he? The answer that God gives Habakkuk is not a roadmap where he can see exactly what God's doing. He can chart out what the answer is. He can't do that. The answer that God gives Habakkuk is himself. That's the answer to the question that Habakkuk asks ultimately. This book goes on to say that the just shall live by faith. It's what the Apostle Paul quotes from in Habakkuk chapter 2. The just shall live by faith. Not in a chart, not in a plan, but in their Savior Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The righteous one who suffered oppression, who suffered destruction upon the cross. That's where the answer is found. Not in a philosophical little nugget that you can carry around in your back pocket, but in a personal God who came down from heaven, took a body to himself, suffered in Jesus Christ, died for our sins in our place, that we might become the righteousness of God, that the glory of the Lord will one day cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's another quote from Habakkuk. It's hopeful, but it's not a hope divorced from the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The answer draws us closer to God. We need to go closer to God. Without Him, there is no hope. Well, do you have questions for God? Big questions for God? He's a big God. He can take your questions. He could take Habakkuk's questions. He wasn't intimidated by his doubts. We go to God in the context of faith, trusting in His Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And He hears us. Thank the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that of all the questions we can ask, there's no question greater than the one your Son, Jesus Christ, asked upon the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? When we think of that, Lord, we can only help but think of why me? Why have you shown grace to us, sinners that we are? We have to wrestle with evil in this world, but Lord, may we be captivated more and more every day by your grace. Grace that we don't deserve. Life that you've given us from the grave. Help us to believe by your Spirit, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.